It's also the law.
We got a spare seat for you.
I make a motion we go back into our regular meeting and close out the executive session.
I hope you had the mics turned off.
Oh, we're gonna play back what you said about us, huh?
Yeah.
All right, the nasty stuff.
There's a motion.
Oh, I second.
Roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Dave Bench made the motion. Bo Miller seconded it. Okay, I so moved to give the Roberta.
Yes, go back into regular.
We did. We exited and went into regular.
Oh, yeah, and I gotta say that there were no decisions made in there, really. The decision is gonna be made out here right now. The Roberta demolition, we gave to Ben Escavating, and the amount is $7,240.
No change?
No change.
And that's, what's the address on the Roberta Drive? I'm sorry.
269 Roberta. These are the demolition bids from March 2018.
What was the address?
269.
Yeah, 269 Roberta.
Okay.
And we tabled the one on Dyke Road there, and we're going to go look at it, Bo and I and Joe probably, and see what we have to do there for sure to figure stuff out. So that one's tabled till next meeting.
What's the address on Dyke Road?
The Dyke Road one, we want to make sure it's...
I'm just marking it down for the notes.
We want to see what the base is up there. Do we want...
112.
We want to make sure if it's stone, we want stone in there. If it's dirt, we want dirt there.
Yeah.
So we want to see what's up there, because I know when you pull up there, it's all stone. That's the only thing we're...
You want to see what the house is sitting on?
We want to see, yeah, what the area is around it.
We don't want to dump dirt there.
If it's supposed to be stone.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only thing that we're waiting on that one for, is before we make a decision. You know, when you pull up there, it's all stone.
Up there all the time?
And I'm like...
That's real close to
it. It was a good question, and it was that, so... You looking for a second?
You made the motion?
Dave did.
Okay. For what?
Been excavating at 72.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I did say that.
He's getting tired. I'll second that motion.
Roll call. Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Joe's pretty quiet tonight.
Very quiet.
I hope he gets better. He didn't look good Friday night.
No, he did not look good. He looked like a old man.
I'm sorry we had to bring him here, but we had to. Okay, now do it, Bo. Now do it.
Looking for a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Dave Bench. We'll call Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carry, meeting adjourned at 9:52.
Man, never been here this late.
And now you turn this off tonight. Not really on the payment side, but fund status report you have in front of your piles of papers there. Apologize for that. We had some deposits, which you also will have a deposit, a receipt report, both to do the fund status. At our pooled investments, which is Star Ohio, we have $573,874.08. And our primary checking at Krogan Colonial Bank, we have $409,204.94. And then payments we have for tonight. Actually, let's talk about receipts. So this is money that we took in. So you have a receipt detail as well. Looks like this. You haven't gotten these before, but I'm going to start giving them to you. So this is money we took in from the Wednesday after the last trustees meeting till today. So you go to page 4. We receipted $297,370.40. We had charges of $14,517.47. And I'll explain what that is in a moment. So those are the receipts we took in. Obviously the largest one being from the taxes that we receive from the county.
It's good to get, I like this.
And I'll explain those charges in a moment.
Okay.
So, those are the receipts from the system. And then payments that we have, and this is from Wednesday after the last trustees meeting until tonight. We have some electronic payments we made. We have, which is 29-2018 through 31-2018. Those are electronic payments, or electronic posts of charges we paid. Warrants 16381 through 16383, which are just two payroll checks. And then 16392 through 16438. I had some voided checks, which you'll see on the right, under status.
Yeah.
I accidentally printed on a couple checks, which made me had to void those accidentally. So payments totaling $24,357.87. So we have the receipts, the fund status, and then our payments.
Let me go through here because
sure.
I signed up checks of the day. I'll
that's
just
okay.
Buzz through it quick again and refresh my mind.
That's okay.
It's kind of slow.
That's right.
We did owe Chris that much then, that 330. That's not in the one that we had.
That was a voided check.
And that was a voided one too. Okay.
Yeah. All the V's.
Okay.
The first two are
okay. I got gotcha.
Electronic payments.
Okie doke.
The first three actually electronic payments. See how they're different.
Okay.
They're taking all that ink and checks out of your pay.
Yeah, I forgot to take the paper out of the printer and I click print and it just prints over the checks and well, there goes that. So now I have a big note on the printer. So is there paper inside?
Yeah, I guess I remember most of them. I signed these with the other night, didn't I?
Yep.
And back here's where they're all straightened out again, then the checks here, then?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep,
okay.
Yep, so I voided those checks, reissued them to the correct amount.
Okay. I guess I so you okay, Bo, with them?
Yeah, all? I already looked at them. I'm good on them. Dave, go ahead.
I so moved to accept the fund status report $400,204.94. Should I read the numbers? 1,000 to 9,001 on the fund status.
Yep, that's fine.
And on the warrants, go from 29/2018 through 16438. And it's for $24,357.87.
You just doing that all you're doing right now?
You want to do the receipts as well? I know you haven't done it in the past, but I'm going to start to acknowledge the receipt detail.
There we go. Last yeah, we never did that before.
Correct.
Not last used to page. That. Okay, then.
As your turn.
And see, should I read through the numbers and go through? Never did it before, so you want us to do that?
It's your choice.
Okay, we'll take the receipt in the paper and we'll go from 26/2018 through
The deposit ticket is the what you were starting to read.
Right down here, the 36?
36-2018.
2018?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the last deposit ticket.
That's the last deposit ticket. Okay. Okay, I'm learning. I like this all, though. You know, it shows us more stuff.
And then again, you have the two amounts, and I'll
I'll explain that in a moment because that's a big chunk of our, is the tax we received.
You want me to read off the,
Well, you have the revenue, the charges, and then the net, so.
Okay, I got you. Okay, the total revenue is, $311,887.87. And, total net receipts were, $297,370.40. Gotta get used to this.
You done with that?
I think so.
All right, I'll second that motion.
Second. Okay, roll call. Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Dave Bench made a motion and Bo Miller seconded it.
So to piggyback off of that, that fee that I mentioned in the receipt report, you have this long piece of paper with my writing on it. There's so many pieces.
There it is.
I'm sorry.
I know.
What I did was we got our tax payment from the county auditor for the various levies and, you know, towards the general fund. The county is so nice to take and their
cut
fees, their cuts from those monies, which I summarized in the blue ink on that first page. If you look on the second page, it explains what some of those were. Election expenses and health department are pretty obvious there. But then each fund they charge, they take their cut from those taxes. So that's our tax payment summary. We'll have one of two this year. The second one will be in August. That's why our deposits were so high and our fund status changed. So we deposit around $282,000 just from $281,139.07 just from that report.
You don't have any airplane tickets or any budget?
It'll take you a while to find them. Okay. Somebody at the county bought a plane ticket.
Thank you, Joel. I appreciate this. That was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we never had this before.
We don't need to necessarily make a resolution or anything to accept this. We already accepted it by depositing it in our bank account. But this next part will make sense to you because we did not do this in 2017. I just wanted to have it on the record.
Okay, where was that at now?
Okay, so then you have a county face sheet here, which I was notified by the chief tax accountant at the county auditor's office that in 2017, in September when they sent this to us, we did not accept this. And what this is, if you look through after the cover sheet, we have to make a resolution to acknowledge we are receiving these monies for taxes collected for 2018. This is their best estimate of what they feel we're going to receive. Now, we already have this sheet. This was provided to us from the last fiscal officer. We did not have a resolution in 2017 when this was received to acknowledge it.
And I don't think we ever did.
And we're required to send this back. So if you look on the last couple pages, we'll fill out later the parts of the resolution page. Okay. But we need a resolution to.
Okay, you want me to read this then?
It's really starting right here. Yeah.
Yeah, right here, right?
No. Worst. Yeah, good stuff, guys.
Start here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You should have read that whole thing?
I'll just start here.
I think it's up here.
Okay.
Well, we can actually fill this out later.
Yeah, just read this.
We just need to acknowledge that we are going to receive in total this 490. The way I read this, and I'm sorry this is dragging out, but we are acknowledging as a board that we are receiving $492,000 estimated from the county auditor back from those two pages.
For the year 2017?
2018.
2018 or 17?
18.
18?
Well, that's 17.
In September 30th, 17, they sent us this.
Oh, okay, for this year.
But we did not do that.
So, Dave, what I would, I think what we could do is we could just make a motion that.
No, no, we have to make a resolution.
A resolution.
We must just read this quick.
Okay.
And then we'll say that $492,000, right?
That's what's indicated on the last page.
Yeah. I'll just read it quick. Whereas the Budget Commission of Lucas County, Ohio has certified in action thereon to this board together with an estimate by county auditor of the rate of each tax necessary to be levied by this board, and what part therefore is without and what part is within the 10 mil limitation, therefore it be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio, that the amounts and the rates as determined by the Budget Commission in its certification be and the same are hereby accepted, and be it further resolved that there be and is hereby levied on the tax duplicate of said township the rate of each tax necessary to be levied within and without the 10 mil limitation as follows. And okay, and I guess auditors yield estimate yield of levy carry to schedule, I guess I could say, and it's $492,000.
That's the sum total of all of those.
Sum total of all the levies. Yep. I guess we did it.
Okay. I'll second that.
Roll call. Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Dave Bench made motion. Bo Miller seconded it. Is that it?
No.
No?
I'm marking.
You stayed here too late last night.
I just want to make sure we're not. Oh, yeah. I don't know if this is coming later or not. Okay, so we had that meeting on Friday, and we I have to pay a couple folks for their help with to Linda, but I was not sure, and I could not find in our meeting minutes what we said as the wage for office work. What we do know is what we approved in January at the reorganizational meeting, which was, you know, Kevin and Eric, the fire department, fire inspector, recreation, assistant fiscal officer. Of course, the fiscal officer and trustees pay is set by the Ohio Revised Code. What I could not find is the office help for back here. And I don't
know. Kevin.
I think what we agreed on back then is they were going to pay the office help the same thing as my part-time work labor rate.
So non-CDL payment we approved was $12.75 an hour.
I think that's what we did.
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was $12, you know, so $12.75 might be right, but I thought it was $12.
Meeting notes.
Because that category is listed basically as temporary help. So that would be the pay rate for temporary help.
But I don't think that's what we agreed on the office help, I thought. We didn't have it in the organizational meeting?
No. No, we had the fire department, we had a lot with that, but we did not have that.
What did we do the year before? Did you look?
I did not look. I don't like to look back too far. Because going forward, it's what we're going to pay in 2018. We did set specifically the assistant fiscal officer. We did set, you know, like I said, the ones we covered already. But
so you're telling me in the organizational meeting there was no
office worker
definitive answer. Do you remember what they were paid last year?
I did not look.
We probably should pay them the same thing we're paying Kevin's guy to cut, you know, his extra guy to cut grass, I would imagine. What is that, Kevin? Is it $12.75?
For 2018, we set the non-CDL at $12.75. That was being CDL and non-CDL was all we had for his department.
I would prefer to wait till Joe gets back before we make a motion on that and do a little digging on that, because that seems, for some reason, that seems high from what I remember.
I think it's fair, though. for, you know, for office help.
I mean, I can pay these, I mean, this is, I can pay these people at the end of the month, it's not a problem, you know.
Doesn't bother me, we can wait till next time.
It's fine. Okay. I think that might be. Okay, that's all I have.
You sure?
Well, that's later on the agenda.
You got my agenda pretty full already, don't you? Oh, I guess we should approve the fiscal officer's report also again, as read and whatever, and I so move to approve the fiscal officer's report as read.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Dave Bench made the motion. Bo Miller seconded it. Okay. Let's move on. Fire department report. Tony.
Well, good evening, everyone. We all know that we've experienced the spring forward on our time change. I hope everybody's body clocks have adjusted to the change. With that reminder, the fire service always encourages everyone to, that's a good time to change your batteries in your smoke detectors. And as a general rule, smoke detectors are good for 10 years. From the date of. So if they're getting to the age of beyond that, let us know and we can help you out with some new ones. Where we would actually have to install it for you and then provide some instructions on home safety awareness. Okay. Fortunately, it's been relatively quiet on the runs, just a little bit of incidentals here and there. We did provide some assistance with Oregon doing a backfill. They had a recent structured fire during the day where they had summoned all three of their stations to assist on that, and then we did a backfill. We were only out of our area for about 45 minutes as well, but just the norm of what we do is we back up each other and help each other out.
And Tony, just curious, did you have to go on any calls when you were up there?
We did not. Nope. We're moving forward on, the group that spec'd out our John Deere UTV is moving forward. The lights, we've received some lights that'll be being installed on there. And what we'd like to do is I would like to present to you trustees. The team has been researching skid units. We believe we found the unit that we would like to purchase. We have evaluated them over other ones as well. But here's a copy of the information and the quote for you to look at. So for the public, I'll just share with you, that's a view of it. It's a skid unit that will fit, designed to fit for the weight and capacity of the UTV that we have, and you'll see that it is a dual purpose. So it is a firefighting capability for brush fires, getting us into the tighter, smaller accesses when we have to obviously be off-road, and then it has the ability of a patient care area that we would be able to position a patient if we needed to transport a patient out of the area. So the proposed, the quote that we have in front of us is I'm looking permission to be able to spend $6,035 for the Chemtex Corporation skid unit. We'll just go with that for now. Other ones were all relatively close. I mean, this is not the Cadillac, but it's not the, not the cheapest thing in town either, but it I think it's going to will serve us for an extended period of time and provide great service to the community.
Now, you know, if you put somebody up there, you have a board or a cot or something, it's curious.
A Stokes basket fits in between those rails, which we would put the...
And that comes with...
...patient in a Stokes, because then the patient is cradled.
Cradled in, yeah, okay. This side's curious.
Yeah.
And that all comes with it?
Pardon me?
That comes with it.
We have Stokes baskets already, yes. We currently carry two. We have one that has a flotation capabilities, and then the other one is on our rescue engine.
That must be all clear in here?
It's all open.
That's open.
Open, that's where the Stokes basket would sit to hold the patient. And then in our UTV, the back sliding window is available, so the caregiver can be in contact with the patient during the transport.
Okay.
Again, these would only be very, very short in duration transports. We obviously gonna move the medic unit up as close as possible, but...
How's it installed, Chief, do you know?
Excuse me?
The Bolden to the UTV, or...
I'm assuming it'll either secure in with the brackets that are already supplied by John Deere, and be in a strapped-in position. I don't know. Captain Wolf, have you explored that? I don't know.
It comes with a securing system. You can decide. You can either bolt it, you can take the bed bolts out.
You go right through them.
If you have the hydraulic dump or not, or you can, it has a ratchet strap system. So we just have to decide if we're going to use it as a removable unit, was use the straps.
Right.
Yeah, you want to be able to take it off quick, I would think, if you want something else, yeah.
Is that equipped for aerial transport? You come in with a helicopter and hook it up and take it?
I don't believe so, but...
Well, I mean, you know, if it's built with the hooks and strong enough to grab it, that's good to... For emergency, getting where you can't get.
Sure. Mm. I don't disagree with you. And then for foam capabilities, we have our individual foam pro pack that we would, if we were going out, for instance, on a vehicle that was way out in the field or something, so the way our department is equipped, we can use our foam pro pack, which will work right off of this as well. So that's how we accomplish our foam capabilities.
I was never on the fire department, you know. I don't understand the foam. It doesn't go in the tank, I'm sure. It's a pack that you can put on here and just hook up.
Yeah, the foam pack is an individual self-contained pack. All we do is support it with water from the tank, from the pump, and then the mixing chamber and the venturi is all right there. But the pack carries the foam. And
that's right on top of it? Or?
We would just carry it. That's a carrying device.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little... like an oversized igloo lunchbox.
Oh, okay. I understand now.
Yeah, it carries about 3 gallons of foam, which is quite a lot of foam in proportion. We're only using 3% proportionated.
Pretty handy.
If you're done, I'll make a motion to approve this purchase for the Firelight Transport Darley FD-202. And total price is $6,035 even.
I can second that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, roll call. Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Bo Miller made motion. Dave Bench seconded.
Thank you, gentlemen. Next thing I just wanted to reinforce is if the public hasn't seen it yet, the Howard Marsh Metro Park opening dedication is Monday, April 23rd at 11 a.m. Right at the Howard Marsh Metro Park. So that is out and available. Next order of business, just wanted to reinforce to you, David, I think you had signed up for this, the EOC.
Yeah.
That's coming up next week then. This is for public officials and emergency operations to view the emergency operations center down at Lucas County. So that's what that is. Because of the special meeting that we had last week, and the fire department was a part of the clarification information needed. I have prepared a new org chart, which identifies everyone except the firefighter. The firefighters is on the regular payroll list. But here's a copy of the org chart. The other purpose of the org chart is we'll be re-identifying some of our officers with different radio ID numbers. So, but,
just curious.
View it and absorb it a little bit, and then I'll clarify at the bottom. There's three more at the very bottom.
Should we have the pay rates too on here?
I can read them off to you.
Well, I just wondered when, you know, so we...
Sure.
So we have a piece of paper with this on it.
I mean, it would be, after last week's meeting, it would be nice just to formally acknowledge these with the pay raise included.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Let me write them down real quick.
Yeah.
If you want to have them keep going.
Yeah. Keep going, Tony. Well, he's...
Okay, so recently in the department, Melissa Amonette has been appointed as assistant medical director. I'm just providing clarification. And I had placed her at a captain's level, so that way it would establish a rate of pay for her that I think is fair and comparable to her service. She is paid just like everyone else. Either you respond to a call or you attend drills and training. She does not get a stipend for the service that she is also providing. Along with her role and responsibility is to expand the EMT basics. That's the focus, is expand their education into making sure that every basic is absolutely comfortable with all their skill sets and their responsibilities and knowing their policies and procedures. So I think this is a great addition. She also assists in training and education, whether she's the instructor or soliciting other instructors to come in. Recently, Jim Wolf was promoted from lieutenant to the captain's position. That was to fill the void that the department has experienced with the absence of Joe Pertee when he took his leave of absence. Captain Wolf has, he is a fire instructor and he's also a fire inspector. So with that, the promotion was needed to balance out and bring it up into where I feel the extra jobs and responsibilities that he has to incur, he's being compensated and respected fully. Please remember that I do have my two assistant chiefs do periodically take time off in Florida. So in my absence, Captain Wolf is the next captain, as well as Captain Flack are the two captains that have to then fill in my absence. Moving down, the department used to carry more lieutenants. So in the position of, you'll see that in the org chart, there are some vacant locations. At one time, we used to carry all of those, but because of the size of the department that we currently have, I'm not necessarily looking to backfill those other lieutenant positions. So right now, we're only carrying two lieutenants, Lieutenant Wayne Cujno. His primary charge is issuing PPE, making sure that all of their firefighters are dressed or equipped adequately with their PPE. And then my next one is Chris Jenkins, and he's currently champion or leading the water rescue dive team aspect of it. So those are just some of their duties. I can't identify absolutely every single thing in there. It wouldn't make any sense. Moving down further, you'll see that the medical director, who is Dr. David Lindstrom, he recently had retired from ProMedica. I'm hearing rumors he may retire from the county, but that's a rumor at this point. But he did ask, because of his less income, and understand the medical director is the one that signs off on every paramedic and every EMT for anything that they perform on the patients. So I think it was reasonable, and he was asking for an annual pay of $2,000. We have a contract description of that. I'm having legal look at it to see if that is reasonable, which also provides the job description and responsibilities. Again, Dr. Lindstrom also aids in teaching, education. He comes out and generally does a session with us to challenge our members on their skill sets and to be comfortable with what they're doing. Next one is the fire inspector. The other fire inspector we have is Joel Moskowitz. And just to extend some clarity, I did get legal to provide clarification because Joel, being a fiscal officer for the township, there was a concern there could be a conflict of interest with doing inspection and or doing this job. And the prosecutor researched it, and there was no conflict of that. But when Joel would be conducting inspections, currently it's at that inspection rate of pay that was put in at the, what's the right term?
Reorganization meeting.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I think one clarification, sorry to cut you off, Tony, but because on your org chart, and I was explaining this to Dave kind of while you were talking, but if Captain Wolf wasn't completing the same, he would be at the rate of 1910, you know, as well.
Yeah.
So your org chart indicates that, it looks like. He's also in doing fire inspections.
Yeah. So then thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
And then our engineer is Lucas Wark, and to establish the rate of pay, he's at a lieutenant's rate of pay for that. And again, that's a person that's putting in a lot of time. I mean, there's always stuff to do on this equipment, always. You know, previous to him was Wayne Miller, and way back when Joe Berg was chief, there was no pay. But today's a little different. We can afford to compensate these people for their time. Every time is very valuable, and so that's where we're at. I hope this clarifies anything, and I'm open for any questions, but I'm not done yet. I'll let you go with your questions first.
Well, how much more you got, Chief?
The next thing I would like to do is I previously spoke to Captain Wolf, and I asked him to speak on behalf of where we are currently in inspections and how we're progressing forward. And I think it'd be best shared by him to explain that and to give that. So I do want you to know we've been working. There's stuff that's happening. You just may not think you see it all the time. So if I can, Mr. Wolf, would you please address the trustees?
Well, I'll break the ice. I'll just hand you guys a check for $14,000 from the association for the Gator.
About time.
Make that a little easier to swallow. So inspections, right now the township has approximately 40 commercial businesses that operate, either are in operation or vacant at this time. So what we're doing is we're in the process of changing over our reporting system from Firehouse, which we've been with for 10 years, to the emergency reporting that happened February last year.
Yes.
About. With that program, it becomes a lot of data entry to get everything plugged in. The nice thing is that this system works with our CAD system that's provided by the county. So we can upload all the pre-plans, building information, any hazards, specific specific hazards of the buildings, building construction, that can actually pop up on the computer system that we carry in the trucks to give us that information real time when we're responding. It also gives us contact information for business owners for after hours things. If we have an issue, it used to be a problem to get that information, or we're calling dispatch and they're trying to figure it out. Now, the system's web-based, so I can pull up that information from my phone through a secured site, through a login, or, again, the onboard computers. What we've been working on recently is getting the data entry and trying to get our high hazard businesses accomplished. The schools, Jerusalem's been done. We're waiting for a re-inspection there. And Eisenhower is waiting to be inspected. We just had a meeting with Maumee Bay State Park. For those of you that don't know, Maumee Bay, the lodge itself, just transitioned over from Zantera, who's been in charge since its opening, to U.S. Hotels. With that comes a lot of changes, a lot of money, given a facelift. If you haven't been to the lodge, they're doing a lot of work in the lodge area. We are not responsible, however, for the inspection of the lodge. That's the state. That falls under the state of Ohio. So we work in tandem with them to go in and do that inspection. But we have everything on Maumee Bay, from all the cottages, the golf course, outbuildings, all the way to the amphitheater. The jurisdictional lines that were drawn way back when don't really make sense, but the buildings pretty much from the amphitheater and angle back, we're in charge of. So that's kind of where we're at. Any of you that are business owners or out in the township, you'll be seeing myself or Joel here coming up. This is a lot of questions the first time. And then it becomes the pre-planning, going out and getting measurements of all the buildings again, getting specific hazards, if you have rooftop units, anything like that. So it's just a lot of information, a lot of data gathering right now. So it's a slow process, being as that we're not here full time. So when we have full time, we try to get out and do it. So if anybody has any questions for the inspection department, by all means, give us a call. We've been working with the county. We've got new commercial businesses coming in, which is nice. A lot of planning new stuff coming up. So there's a lot of good things happening in the township. I seem like every day I get a phone call or an email for somebody that's a plan review or something. So that's what I got.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.
Back to me. Whatever. You guys have questions for me.
Yeah, what's the regular fire pay? Is that?
I have to yield to the fiscal officer because I don't know it offhand.
Probationary is 1428. I want to say it's
probationary.
No, that's lower.
Probationary is 1428, regular member is 1476, general labor is 1050, so janitorial maintenance on the building.
It's 1050, okay.
1050.
I just wanted to have it all down in one paper, so we...
Yeah. What else? Other questions?
We'd like to go into executive session.
What are you going to go in for?
Because that's not right. What he just
no,
put?
No, the topic of executive session.
What do we put under employee? How do you want to phrase it? Employee
compensation.
Employees at work.
Okay.
Okay. Make a motion. We go into executive session.
Well, he made the motion.
Oh, you did? Well, yeah. I think the president's supposed to. Okay, whatever.
Well, no. Right. No, is there?
What?
Sure. That's right. You make the president.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to second it. Okay, roll call. Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Dave Bench made the motion. Bo Miller seconded.
I didn't ask for it. Don't give me those evil eyes.
Oh, let's go quick.
excuse you.
I'd like to make a motion to leave executive session and go back into regular meeting.
You were done, right, Chief? I think.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
you were done before we right, yes, went in there.
Bo,
what's up?
I made a motion.
Oh, I second that. Sorry.
Okay, roll call. Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
No, no business was taken care of in there. I guess put it that way.
I got a question for the chief.
Before we go on, Jim.
I had two questions, but Joe had a little bit in there.
Okay.
The first question I had was, now that I see the water getting into the new park, it's going to be quite a lake within, not a pond.
Correct.
What, five
or seven interconnecting lakes.
What measurements is the park and the fire division made to get craft in and out of there? Is there any way you could hit them up for permanent dock or providing a craft or something? Is there going to be a ramp for the access to the rescue? I don't know what you have, a Zodiac or aluminum boats? Or?
We currently now have a 15-foot aluminum John boat tracker is what we have, which can be handled. It's just under 200 pounds. Not all of the interconnecting lakes connect to one another. So the way that they have promoted it is you're into this basin here, then there's a sand stone area that so if you were in your kayak, for instance, you would come up to that beach area, get out, grab your kayak, drag your kayak over and across and down, and then you're into the next water basin, and then you would traverse around that way as well. So our view is we will need to be able to deploy any one of those. The 15-foot boat that we have is a large enough vessel for us to be able to reasonably do a rescue if we had to stable enough craft for us to do our job if we're retrieving someone out of the water. If we're in an instance of that, we will be allowed to use motors on. For us, we're not restricted by that, but there are no motor crafts to be used in there. With the UTV that we have, and we're currently looking at our operation, it's a real likelihood possibility the UTV will tow the boat closest to the reservoir that we need to, and then we can deploy on that boat. We're currently looking at our trailer situation and how we transport this. Right now we have a trailer that has our boat and some of our ice rescue type activities. Well, that trailer will not fit our UTV as well. So unfortunately, we have to go to a taller, a customized trailer. We're talking that we'll probably, the likelihood is maybe we'll get rid of that trailer, sell it, something, it goes away. We go to a longer trailer with the taller, and then that way the two vessels for the UTV and the boat then can be within one another. Our other boat that's in the other barn is really for lake. That has to have a boat ramp in order to utilize it, the Tatinga. It's a good boat, but I don't like it. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I don't like it because it's heavy and bulky, and with the 40-horse motor, it's a rampable boat. So,
not practical.
And not overly practical. It for rivers and flooding, it'd be a fantastic boat for those kinds of things. But for us, even taking it out of the lake, if we have to go to the lake, my first call is to Vernon Mickey, which he is gracious to. Always provide a pilot and a boat for us. The next we have Division of Watercraft is our next closest asset that we can work with. So, just to give you an idea.
Yeah, I didn't know the water surface areas in the park was gonna be broken up into.
Yeah, they're, I'm not to say that they don't have interconnecting tiles that maintain the levels of them all, which they're getting all the water from the lake, obviously, but, so fish will move, but, for boaters, you'd have to move from, one lake to the next.
Anything else, Tony?
That's all I have, but good question, and I appreciate the, I appreciate you asking it.
Thank you, Tony, appreciate it. We'll move on then, rec, Mike.
Okay, we'll start with programming, spring soccer, teams are formed, practices are set to start after break, which weather depending on that. I'll have the fields up, the goals up, hopefully in the next couple days, and then along with that, flag football is at the same time as the spring soccer. The older softball and baseball teams have been split apart, and that's on the same schedule there, and then the T-ball is a little bit later down the line. I looked at the extended forecast, it looks like it's going to be cold for a while, so everything might be pushed back a little bit. So on that note, I will have a porta potty service and open up for next week. I did get 3 estimates for the fertilizer. Well, 4 counting the one you got. So what it is, I had Landart come out to do the offices and the fire station in the same area that is done now. And along with that was the cemetery. And then I had Maumee Bay do the same thing. Maumee Bay Turf Center do the same thing. So there was the True Green and Landart are very close. For the offices and the cemetery, True Green is 962, and that's who we have been using. Mm-hmm. And then Landart was 1054. So it's about, what's that, about $90 off. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty close. I had them, the fields were separately as we, I did talk to True Green again, and the price went down a little bit because they knew we were comparing prices. So that was, it's down to $4,008 for the 3 services at the fields. The Maumee Turf Center, their prices are probably 5 times the other ones.
No kidding.
Yeah, so to do the offices and the cemetery for the year, it's $4,000, $4,300. It's a lot of money. So we have True Green and Lander for the offices and the. So do we want to take the lowest one on that, or?
I guess we'll just stay with who we've been with. They've been treating us good. Kevin, you got something to say?
I thought that the cemetery in here, we were staying with the same thing because True Green called yesterday. They were supposed to be out today, and obviously I didn't see them to do the treatment. So somewhere along the line, they got a piece of paper saying to go ahead and do this.
I have not gave them anything back. Actually, the secretary called me and asked me what we were doing, and I told her we were having 2 or 3 other companies come out and bid.
Well, the only thing that she told me that was in question was the ball fields.
Okay, well, yeah, well, it was, because I have the papers and I was supposed to sign it and send it back, or sign it, you can sign it digitally, and I didn't do anything, so. But I can call them tomorrow and tell them to go ahead with that if that's what they want to do.
They've always did us right, haven't they, Kevin?
Anytime we've had a problem, they talk out that day or the next day that we call them, if we got dandelions or anything like that. You know, obviously, if we had found somebody to come in cheaper, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
But they are the lowest, and I agree with Kevin. They do a good job.
So how much was it total for everything?
For just the offices, it was $282.76 for a year.
$282.76
76 cents for okay. the year. That's 3 applications.
Okay, that was for the office here.
And the fire station office.
Okay.
The cemetery is $680.56.
Okay.
For the year.
Okay.
Then you want to know the Landart price?
No, you already got them approved for the ball fields? That's already done, or?
Well, that's a whole different thing. Dave got a different estimate just for the ball diamonds.
Oh, okay.
So True Green beats Landart. If you add those up, it's 962 and some change, 963. Landart is 1054.
Okay.
Top of that, the other part of that is the ball diamonds. The ball diamonds for the True Green, which I am very happy with the True Green. That's $4,008, but with your the what's the name of that? Sunrise is three applications would be $3,360. So that's $400 roughly. $350.
I know Sunrise didn't put the fertilizer down. They said what they're used, but they didn't put pounds down. You know, did True Green put anything down or?
Oh yeah, when I talked to him about that, he did send that email to both of us last year. I couldn't probably find it.
I never got it.
Okay. But it'd be the same as. Well, he's got $70 an acre for Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. That's for everything, yeah.
Okay. So I guess if we keep, the guest question is, do we keep True Green from offices in the cemetery and keep the ball fields to the sunrise, or keep everything from True Green?
It's $400. I don't know if you want to give them it's the Sunrise is out of Fremont.
Will they do the cemetery and offices too, Sunrise?
No.
No?
No.
Just big spaces.
See why they're
a big spray link?
They're going to do it with a big one, yeah.
Okay.
That's why they can do it cheaper.
The reason why I would kind of lean towards True Green is just because of the service that comes with that.
Kevin, are you happy with True Green, you said?
For here in the cemetery, yes.
I'll make a motion to stay with True Green this year just because...
$400.
It is $400, but next year if they don't get that ball diamond, they may charge us even more for the cemetery and for the, you know, the cemetery and the offices here.
I think we ought to stay with True Green for here, and then the ball diamonds try them for $400 difference, and give it a try myself. But that's $400, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't.
Same chemical makeup? Are they spraying and doing the same treatments?
Well, we don't really know because nobody ever puts it down. Maybe we should table the ball fields, and I'll tell Sunrise to give us the specs, and we'll get the specs from True Green for the others.
I'll call them tomorrow.
Okay, I'll call too then. Okay. That makes sense. We'll see what we're getting then, Jim. Yeah.
Because I mean. When we do it, there's so many different things you can mix up.
Yep.
And again, if you want your price to look good, I can make my price look really good.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be happy.
Spray water.
Spray it.
Well, this says 1802 with TriMac, so I mean, that's what it has for Sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that would be, because I know all three applications are a little different. So with the other... fall application and the summer application be different, and would that be more money?
I'll ask.
Okay.
You ask the same thing.
I will.
Okay. Well, let's make a motion that we give them the offices and the. I can go with that, okay. And around the cemetery and the offices.
Yep. I'll call them, keep that the same, and I'll tell them I'll get that stuff and I'll get it to you, and then we'll make the decision.
We'll make the decision next time.
Okay. You made the motion to keep True Green, is that what you said?
Yeah, for the cemetery and the offices.
Okay. I'll second that.
Roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Mike, yes. Was that 962 the discounted price for paying early?
That is the discounted price for paying early, yes. I do have a couple more things. With the Reno Park, what we're planning on doing out there, we get the yard per, or mulch per yard down to about $15 a yard, which is more than half of what the original price was. And then I also did a little bit of looking at the gate that we talked about putting on. That's relatively inexpensive. Looks like it'd be about $200 for the gate and the wheel apparatus on that. So when we get ready for that, obviously it's not going to happen this week, but I will keep you guys posted on what's going on.
Did you guys ever come up with, should we spray that or do anything there, put some fertilizer? Nothing's probably ever been done there.
Yeah, we did talk about it at one of our meetings. I guess I can get a quote and see what you want to do.
I guess we go on Aries and find out how many acres you think that is, Kevin, or should we just go on Aries? And
that's what True Green does. They pull it up, look online.
And look online. Sounds good. Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. At least get a price.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are you getting the mulch from, Mike?
Well, I talked to Kevin. He said he talked to
Lake Erie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was delivered, Kevin, or we had to go pick it up?
No.
We got to haul it, don't we?
We got to haul it.
They can be delivered.
All right.
Either way, it's still cheaper than the
Yeah.
That's a lot cheaper. That their local business. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and then the last thing I have is I did send out the scope of work for the fields out there. I sent out two of them, and then I called Imch Brothers twice, and apparently they don't want to do it because they haven't called me back. So as I went through my notes, we had Blousy put in a price from last time. I don't know if that's somebody you want me to pursue.
Could. You ask him at least, yeah.
Okay, so I did get one back. I'll present everything I have to you next time. Okay. And that's all I have for now.
Anybody have any questions on the rec? Let's keep moving. Thank you.
I got the other one. I said, as you keep them, that's a dollar, just like Lundy's. You know, Lundy's.
Same thing. Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yep.
Let's go on the zoning inspector, Linda.
All right. So as far as permits goes, they're redigging a pond on Seaman at the corner. I see Corey and Vanguida. They have a mess there today if anybody went by that way. Accessory building at 9640 Brown is going to go up a fence at 8165 Brown, Mike's old address.
Oh, yeah.
And then on Seaman at Cujino, there's a young guy that's going to build a new house, a pond and an accessory building. There.
Which, where on Cujino?
The water pit. So Cujino, it's on Seaman. So you've got those, there's three lots there when you get to the old gray Sears house.
Okay.
So he's building on the middle lot. So I warned him several times that it's a pretty bad decision, but I think he got it fairly cheap, but that is floodplain there.
Yeah.
And that's where we always put the barricades up there for the water going across the road.
In the northwest corner, is that what you're talking?
Southwest
corner?
Yeah.
Where all the brush is at?
Yeah. He's got the middle one.
Oi.
Yeah, oi. And he's digging a basement. I even said, oi, oi. I'm like, don't put any more water in your basement.
You can't put a basement on the floodplain.
Well, if he has enough, he can do whatever he wants.
Real boy.
So today, I spent, the last 2 days, I spent a lot of time going around and visiting sites, because since we have a lot going on. And even the guy at the corner of Yondota and Corduroy, the ponds are all really high. So his was back feeding into his house. So he dug up there, and then two houses downwards where they're digging the pond up. So I've been there. I've been to the Dollar General site. I did go. I saw where they cut the lines, which is on their side. So they, and that has been reconnected. I saw that. And as far as the, they're
what,
trying to make their.
What line are you talking about?
Was it your telephone line?
I connected it back up.
Okay.
They didn't do anything.
Right. Well,
and
they shouldn't, because it is actually on their property.
Well, that's the phone company put it in. That's what they did. But
right.
But they cut into my ditch. The whole ditch is on my property.
Okay. So hang on.
Okay. Go ahead.
Part of the ditch is not on their property, and the right of way where the catch basin is, anybody can connect into there. The catch basin's right there.
Yes.
So what they're looking at doing is they're probably going to redo it so they can connect straight into the catch basin. So they are going to fix that. But the phone lines that they cut are actually on their property, so they're technically not responsible for them.
Well, the thing is, they should have sounded them out beforehand and knew they were there.
And Lake Erie Tree, we got stuff going on both sides of the road there. It's kind of neat to see. So Lake Erie Tree had some issues today with wind and putting their trusses up. I did approve, because our zoning says no soil should be removed from the premise when we do building, but I'm allowing it to go across the street. Because if I wouldn't, they would be built up so high that they'd cause more trouble for the neighboring properties.
Especially the one in the back there.
Yeah.
That's bad enough the way it is.
So the extra dirt's going across the street, which I thought that was an okay situation to allow. So it's not
from the Dollar General across the street?
Over Lake Erie Tree.
They hauled dirt out. Now, at the Dollar General, they hauled dirt out, and I was telling them, that's all low. When they had a town hall here on that, I was here, and when I looked at the plans and documented it, it looked like there wouldn't be a problem, because they're showing a 20-foot leeway around the whole thing where there's nothing supposed to be there. Well, now, according to what they're doing, they're building on it. So they're not following what the print originally said. And I can show you that, because I documented it all. I took pictures of it when I was here. And everything I see is different from what they're doing there. So I don't know what they've got approved here, or with who, or what. But, the first thing they did is they cut it and drained into my pond, one spot, because there's a lot of water in the field. Well, yeah, that's what they got. And I told them, I says, if you build at the level that you're doing, they had all the stone in there and everything, I says, you're gonna flood out. And now I see. And they were hauling dirt out to level everything out. Now they're hauling dirt back in there again. So somebody doesn't know what they're doing there. And, you need to get somebody that knows what they're doing in there to watch it. Just like I say, they cut into the ditch. If they're putting an 8-inch line in anywhere, they don't need to cut a 10-foot swatch in there to put that in. So now, they're going to put it into the catch basin. Okay, but you're heading the water west. So that's going to, if you get a big rush of water, it's going to be stopping the flow. it should be putting a catch in there or go into the main line so it heads east. You can't, you know, it, I mean,
I see
when that water goes up.
They're shooting it on an angle up into the main sewer
right,
line?
Yeah.
I see what you mean, to the west, and everything goes east.
Right.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, they're doing that because of catch basins.
And I told them, hey, you know, I've had carp on my driveway there, and I've got it built up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when I built the house, I built it up. Anybody knows that. Now, when Cass built the house there, he built it right down level. You got a lot of problem with that.
Yeah, they got a big problem back there.
And I had to, okay, now they built houses on North Curtis there, new house. And so that cut off one of the flows that I had that was in there originally. That was before I bought the place, and there's another one down the way at the back of my woods, which went out, and they cut that all off. So I've had to spend thousands of dollars putting in catch basins and ponds and everything, so I get a lot of flow coming. Plus, my neighbor west of me, he drains into me. I had to put a catch there and come across my, he's not only that, he's headed the other way into Oregon, dumping all his water there. You put a pond in, you got to have an overflow. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an overflow. It just drains to everybody else's.
Linda, so, can you do me a favor and sometime this week go over there, stop over there, and just make sure that they either are on plan of what the drawings are showing.
The county was supposed to come out there today,
okay,
along with the project manager, and they were going to.
Well, if you get a set of eyes on it and look at it, and if something throws a red flag up, then we can get a hold of the county right away and say, hey, listen.
I'm going to call the county because they're the ones that are in charge of inspecting it.
Okay. So we'll send her out there, look at it, and talk with the county, make sure they are following what they have in here, what the plans that they did have. That's the first thing that I'd be worried about is making sure if you're saying that if it's not to plan, yeah, we need to catch that right now and get it, make sure they're doing it right from the get-go.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Okay.
From what I see.
Well, we'll send Linda over and look, and then.
I'm not stupid.
No, I'm not saying.
I just want to tell you.
Yeah.
I work with Toledo Housing in East Toledo. I was on the board for a couple of years. I was with them for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I'm a certified state inspector. For health and safety, so you know I know what's going on.
Right. Okay. Well, the best thing is if Linda goes over there, she can, and if she sees something's wrong, she can get on the phone right away with the county and say you need to be out here and not come out here at your leisure. You need to be out here and either stop work or
if she can't get through, we'll go right downtown.
So.
Well, I was gonna call them in the morning anyhow, okay, just to touch base with them because. The project managers weren't there. I just talked to a guy running the payloader.
Okay.
Oh, but they're coming tomorrow, you mean? Or?
They were supposed to come today to decide what to do.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So we're working on it. Ace Roofing brought in a shipping container, if anyone saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
That was his solution to cleaning up his mess and...
What about the giant orange dumpsters? Them still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've addressed him as far as blight, as far as he's using that property as a storage yard, which is a non-conforming use.
Well, that, and I had mentioned to the chief, and he was going to relay back to Captain Wolf on there has to be restrictions for or limits for us to get a truck in there. That's fenced off. They can't have everything blocked off. We have to have access.
Yeah.
So we might be able to shove that down his throat a little bit as far as them going in there and saying, listen, we need this much to get in here. This is what the Ohio Revised Code says.
Yeah, plus you have a well right in the middle of what he does have. When you drive in there and turn right,
the well is right
smack in the middle of that drive area.
All right.
So you'd even have more problems because of where the well's located.
Looks like a dump.
Yeah, it does.
He did give me a call. I will give him that much credit because I stopped and told his crew, he wasn't there, that the shipping container was not allowed. And then he did call me back, and he says, I'm willing to do what I need to do. So we'll see where I can go with that. So I'll give him another call then tomorrow. Work that through.
What's his name? Jim?
Jim.
Kruger, isn't it?
Kruger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, land use. We had talked about it last time, and you were willing to meet. I have been back and forth with Bill Harbert and the Planning Commission, and yeah, we're getting into the springtime, and he's having just as much trouble. But he could come at 6 o'clock on the 24th of April, which would be an hour before your regular meeting. I don't know if you want to do that or not.
What is the 24th?
24th is a Tuesday, so it would be that last...
Last meeting of the month?
Yeah, last meeting of the month in...
April.
And he could come at 6. Yeah, I had it. He's on vacation the second week of April, so that kind of takes out what he can do. And then he can't come the next Tuesday or Wednesday, but the 24th was open.
Let's do it.
Okay, 6 o'clock? Is that all right?
Yep.
Okay. I'll let him know tomorrow. Board of Revision, the $13,500 lot that we own, but the auditor says is that much, is changed down to $1,000. I just got the letter.
Which one is this?
It's 413 North. As I was writing the letters to try to get the neighboring landowners to buy them, the auditor's value of that lot was $13,500.
Wow.
And the adjoining lots were $1,000. So that's when I went up to downtown and had to go to the Board of Revisions. So we got the letter in the mail, so it's changed to $1,000.
Did they say why?
What lots are you talking about? Because...
A 40-foot lot.
Because...
The neighboring lots are also $1,000.
If they're selling lots, you're supposed to be able to get them for $100 if there's a lot available next to...
We're trying to sell them for what the auditor's value of them is.
Oh, you're trying to sell them, okay.
Red Cross Blood Drive, May 17th. The 10th was actually taken.
Okay.
So if the 17th works, he's going to come tomorrow and bring the paperwork.
The hall's open.
Okay.
So you want me to put it down?
Yeah.
May 17th?
May 17th. It's a Thursday. We could do it later, but how about dates for brush chipping and garbage? Only because I was going through the website stuff, and I've actually had calls for unlimited garbage.
Yeah, well, didn't we tell you that?
What day
was
it?
That was, I think, even before the first of the year, I think.
Yeah, June. Can you remember the date?
I
it was last year, it was May 20th.
Like the 14th or something like that, I want to think.
And Kevin, our flyer, has brush chipping starting May 1st, but last year said Monday, May 1st.
Yeah.
This year would be Tuesday, May 1st.
Yeah, I'm just...
Can we just change it to Tuesday?
If we're going to do the flyers. And we do this every year, is posting it like we do our special meetings and way ahead of time on our website good enough, or do we want to do the mailing through the township with the flyers again?
I think that the sign probably gets enough usage, word of mouth, when they see it on the sign out front.
Yeah, but a lot of people down in Reno don't come see this.
That's
one.
True.
I've heard that complaint.
Well, we post them at Jack's like we usually do, then up to Joey's, then on the marquee, then on the website. Is that enough?
I'm talking to some township Facebook pages.
There you go, Jim.
You know somebody on there, go right ahead.
Yeah, I try to stay away.
You don't put it in the suburban?
Not
lately. It's been a while since we did that, hasn't it?
The only thing we do is we used to put a flyer in the press that would go out with the paper separate.
You know what I can do too, Kevin? I can put it in that little Jerusalem Township thing. I don't think anybody reads it that much, but that's where I got the library thing and everything.
Bulletin board thing?
Yeah, bulletin board. Yeah, yeah. Tony?
Well, we had one meeting, Linda and I did, and talked about the blood drive and then talking about an insert, because there's multiple things that I wanted to put in this. And the only thing we discussed back and forth was, putting it in the Suburban Press is about $50. If we print them off ourselves, take them there and give them to them, they insert them, and that canvases our area, pretty good. The only drawdown to that one is a portion of the residency don't even bother to look at it. They just throw them away. You know, but that's what it is.
We did our job.
So, but there it is. So there were quite a few things that we wanted to put in there. One, the notification of the, in an emergency, call 911, that this other number is going to be discontinued. That's on behalf of the fire department. The next one is contact the township, visit the website for all phone numbers and that, and put the primary phone number for the township, which is answered by an answering machine, that message in there. Then going down with community events, the Red Cross, if there's brush chipping, everything else. And then I was also going to insert in there a recruiting page. The fire department is always interested in gaining more team members. So I would like to move forward into that, and at least get it out there. It may be premature of some of the dates of stuff, but again, you have provided at least a notice out there for no more than what the expense of that is. We'll print them off on our machines, and then, I'll take them to the press, and we'll get it out there. So if that's acceptable.
I think we ought to do that, don't you?
Well, I'm combining the fire department messages along with the township messages.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it.
There's enough there that we got enough. Yeah, I totally agree.
And we'll just rely on that saturation. And we can use those same inserts to act as the postings for instance, as Kevin's saying, Jackson, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess, should we make a motion that we put it in the flyers and spend the money too? So,
$42.
Yeah. What did you say, $50,
It's about $50. $45, $50 is what it is. That's if we print them.
Cost, because you got to buy the paper and whatever we pay per copy.
We need to make a resolution.
But typically, we run our own flyers off.
Yeah, we run our own off, so, yeah.
Yeah, I've already bought 3 reams of paper for this.
Okay.
So I've already got that.
We don't need to make a resolution.
We'll use your printer.
It doesn't get used that much anyhow.
It's low on Tony.
Okay.
I know the guy for this hasn't filled
much money.
What?
Because he just filled
money.
We need
to make a resolution. It's not that much money.
It's not that much. But
it's worth on his ability to spend it.
Yet Tony has the authority to spend it. He spent it already, most of it. So, let's just let it. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's still, again, putting in a portion of what I need to,
right.
And that's fine.
Let's just put it all together. It's a good idea. Kevin, where did we write that date down? I told you to write. I got it at home, I think, for the unlimited
committee.
I just talked to Brian last week, and I didn't think to talk to him about that.
Remember, I told you to write it down, and I wrote it down at home, I think, because he talked to me at home.
I have a calendar in there, one of the 10 hanging. I don't know where to look.
It's some,
I think it was right around the first week of June, I think.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah, so that way I can put it on.
The worst part was they told Linda to put it on the website.
I don't remember us talking about it. I don't think I was here that day. I don't
remember. Yeah, it's been a couple months ago already.
Right. So, the only other thing I have is, I have two things. But so I've been working on the website. If we can keep our website updated, we're okay. If it stays stagnant, we're not okay. So some things I just went through, like David's term says it ends in 2017. Well, that's already happened. And pantry time was wrong, but that's the people that put it in. And then the unlimited pickup, I noticed, is already coming up on the website because the calendars are supposed to be updating and putting in events. And then I got Bo's number going in for hall rental. And the Oregon Dispatch is the number that we are taking out and just saying dial 911.
Mm-hmm.
Our website actually had the administrative phone number on it. Mm-hmm. Tony and I called it that last week. All right, so anything with websites, please just go on and look and notice what you might see. And then if you tell Joel or I, we can get updated. I do have I had four bids for demolition for those two properties. I would like to request at the end of the meeting, possibly we go into an executive session to discuss those, but we can wait till the end.
Didn't you state last meeting that you only had one bid and the bids were closed?
No, the bids weren't closed yet.
The next day?
Yeah.
Okay, so three come in on the last day.
I remember that. I do remember that, yeah.
Yep, I got the phone calls and the emails. One said it after the meeting, and then the other one delivered it.
It's going now.
So, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Maintenance department, Kevin.
All right. Top of the list was the topic for the last couple meetings. Mine and Eric's comp time, which I provided you guys both, was a signed copy of our comp time. And I'd like to rectify that tonight if you guys agree with those numbers. Those numbers all come from our time cards. And that's what me and Eric have in total with just pay. So that would bring us up to what we have exactly right now with nothing else coming. And just to go through it, my comp time at this point is 212.72, and Eric has 234.58. As the two numbers that the fiscal officer requested that we did to rectify the problems we had at the end of the year. And with his numbers not being right in the computer, these were all brought up. Me and Eric keep a running total on these right along with the fiscal officer. So like when we get this paycheck this week, we would verify that number on the paycheck to make sure it matched up with what we had. If it didn't, we'd get with the fiscal officer and find out who was in error and where the error took place.
Just so you have, this is from the UAN system. This 8x14 piece of paper. Also, just understand the 0.72 and the 0.58. You'll maybe wonder why that is. Maybe not. I don't know. I wonder why that is because it's not even numbers.
Because if you're taking time and a half on a half hour, it's a quarter of an hour. Or point whatever.
So this is what the UAN system is reporting. You have for each employee, comp time is the top one. And this is for, it was ran from March of 2018, but it's what's there. The vacation hours were never tracked for a long time. That's why you see a minus 472 and a minus 336.
So the computer's saying on Kevin we have 157 hours of comp time. Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, 177.
Yeah, 177. That's what the computer was saying. And you're saying you have
234.58. No, Eric has.
I'm sorry. You're right, Eric. I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, so Eric had 234. You had 212.
Yeah.
And this one's saying 177. But it also says that you owe us 472 hours of vacation time, Kevin.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't plan on going anywhere this summer.
But if you also look at our holiday leave, it's like 1,000 hours or something in the negative.
Yeah.
So that's how it was. At the end of the year, the last three paychecks all come out looking like that. And when you start out the first of the year, there was, on our paychecks, I can show you the time stubs where I actually had 582 hours of holiday time coming for a year. So that's how correct those numbers were kept.
Joel, can you in the computer system, can you manipulate these numbers to whatever we want?
You just manually type it in.
Okay.
You just override it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I, if you want, I can make a motion on this, Dave.
Sounds good.
Obviously, the computer system was wrong, and it's showing it here.
Well, it's just that it's put in incorrectly.
Yeah, the data was put in incorrectly, so it's showing that Kevin actually owes us 472 hours of vacation time, and so does Eric owes us 336.
36.
So as what's today's date? The 13th.
Yeah.
So as of March 13th, 2018, I want to accept the following comp time and vacation hours to be updated into our computer system. So for Kevin Chapman to have 212.72 hours of comp time, and for Kevin Chapman to have 200 hours of vacation time. Eric Schuffenecker will have 234.58 hours of comp time, and he will also have 144 hours of vacation time available as of today's date.
I can second that.
Roll call, Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Bo Miller made the motion, Dave Bench seconded.
Okay, we're still doing service work on the tractors for summer. That's pretty much winding down. We're working on some little stuff on mowers and stuff like that. At this point, everything's pretty much ready for spring, other than just minor stuff that we're still finishing up with. I'm presently mowing the Wallace Road ditch right now from the Metro Park side. I'm getting quite a bit of it cut out. I've tentatively worked out a deal with Allen Township because they have a longer reach mower than what we got. So I'm going to take out everything I can with our mower. Then sometime between now and this summer, when they'll let me get their mower, I'll go back down and see if we can't get the rest of it out of there. Because all the brush and stuff that's in it's just restricting that ditch, and all the trees in there with the tile isn't good for all the tile they put in the bottom of that ditch. But so we'll most probably have the rest of this week, weather pending, that we can possibly finish it up the end of the week. Pumping, we've been pumping over for the Cedar Point and Arquette area, the backside of the Arquette area water. We've pumped 7 days for a total of 49 hours. And for that 49 hours, we've used 240 gallons of fuel for that pumping, which the water's basically down quite a ways now. I'll most probably put in one more day of pumping later in the week. Just got cold enough. I wasn't liking starting that tractor early in the morning being that cold. So I'm gonna hold out maybe Friday morning, pump for Friday, and we'll be done until we get any significant rain.
I drove there, Kevin. The Cedar Point really looks good.
Yeah, it's down quite a ways. So, and we had a lot of water build up basically from when we quit pumping back. It would have been just before Thanksgiving until we started a little over a week ago. But it's taken it down pretty good. No problems with everything. Everything's been going really good with that. Marius Drive, I did look at that, David. The tile that goes underneath Marius Drive, that from what I could see until the water really quits flowing out, I can't really inspect underneath the road. What we're back to now, I think, is a good enough pipe that I can sleeve onto and put into the ditch. My other option I was looking at, if we see the inside of that galvanized is deteriorating, I think that's 10 inch. If that's a 10 inch tile that goes underneath the road, I may be able to sleeve that with a piece of plastic and maybe shove, you know, an 8 inch or something up into it to keep it from collapsing. Because obviously we don't want to dig up that road at this point. It's about 4 feet down in that road.
Yeah.
And get away with that. The one on the other side is that trees completely got that one closed off, which I don't know if we dig back into that bank once that tree's gone, if we can salvage anything close to the ditch or not. But that's something we can check into when it dries up.
It dries up.
That's a soup hole. I may go over there maybe next week and look at that tree site again and see if there ain't a way that we can go in there and notch that out and maybe get some of that pipe open to get that far eastern end to drain some. Because that one lot, might be two lots farther down, I think Martin's on it, got quite a bit of water still laying in it. So that's a work in progress. So I'll keep you updated on that. If you come up with something or anybody else calls and complains, at least let them know that we're looking at it, trying to get it.
We should take the neighbors there and show them that so they watch it, because you can't imagine how much water that blows out of there.
Well, I found out about that by accident about my third year here, and Cork didn't even know that was back there. I got with Dave Moore. We were talking at the ice cream store one day, and he told me about it. Well, I didn't believe him, so we went down there and walked that whole thing, and there's actually, I think it's a 24-inch concrete pipe stood on end that they used as catch basins, and they're every, I think it's 350 feet apart, if I remember right from measuring them. So if we can get them open, that helps that area quite a bit.
Oh, quite a bit, yeah.
Backhoe's a work in progress. The service manager from Southeastern managed to make a mistake stopping to see Linda to get a permit. And he said who he was. So we nailed him on our new backhoe that we were not getting any service out of Southeastern on, who we purchased it from. He sent out a day later, sent two mechanics out to work on it. They've updated five different items in the computer. They've changed two solenoids out, and they have an update on the transmission with another switch for cold weather, so it'll shift, which we were having the problem that you could run 3-4 miles down the road when it was cold, and it wouldn't shift up until it warmed up enough in the tranny to let it shift. So they're gonna replace that. They were waiting on that. He told me possibly tomorrow they'd be back out to complete that. So hopefully once they do that, our problems with the backhoe will be done. And service manager was apologizing as fast as he could go right after the blood drained out of his face when they cornered him on it. But seems to be working okay at this point. They're actually getting it fixed.
And we didn't have to take it up there?
No. Imagine that.
Is this all John Deere? Is this all John Deere?
No, it's a case.
What is it?
It's a case.
Oh,
back
case.
Home.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there wasn't a John Deere dealer. We had to go to get one priced. We went down to Lima. Lima. There's no John Deere dealer closer, so, and John Deere costs a lot more, so the case had a lot more on it, so we bought the case.
All right, the next thing, me and David was out at our annual meeting with the county on the roads and stuff. The project that we put on for a 2018 project last year, which is the Van Dyke crossover that goes underneath the road right at Corduroy and Van Dyke. Joel, if you could, and I'll get you the email address, they just need basically us saying that we're still willing to do the project, and all the trustees have to be CC'd in on it. That's something new they started this year. Instead of me calling out or David or one of the other trustees saying, hey, we want to do this project, they've spent too much money doing engineering on one person saying that they're going to do it. Then they cancel the project. So yeah, they just need that letter so they can proceed. The estimated cost now on that project is $65,000, which I believe with the contractor we use quite a bit, I would have to believe in some of the changes we made, it's gonna be maybe $10,000 less than that, I'm hoping. So if you could do that, it'll go, I don't know if you got Sarah rolling on your computer or not, but if not, I can get you the email address for it. Another item brought up, Mr. Early wasn't in the meeting, but his protege that's looking to take over for him when he retires, we got into a little discussion again about us taking over some of the present county roads that are in the township. He said due to some new law changes and what have you, some of these roads may be given to us. This guy doesn't seem like he's the type at this point that wants to stick us with anything that we can't afford, which we also relate to him. We would not take any roads we couldn't afford or that weren't brought up to date. So he's looking to have a discussion sometime yet this year to start looking over some of the roads that are actually entitled county roads. A county road, how it was spelled out in the ORC, was any road that started or terminated on a county or state road. So what he's looking to do is get rid of some of the little spur stuff, what I'm assuming would be like, maybe like a Martin Williston, a Nissen Road, and smaller stuff like that. At one point, they wanted to take part of Howard Road, part of Corduroy Road, Beeler Road, Main Street Bono. There was like 12 roads altogether they were trying to get us to take. We argued that quite a bit, and when we put in a records request, and I wrote down everything on those roads that we'd have to maintain and the cost of it, we didn't hear anything for about 3 years. Now it's back again. So I'll stay on top of that and keep you informed of anything that I got, because before we left, I asked him to email me the new laws that he was talking about.
Oh, did he?
I have still not got those yet. Mm-hmm. So I will hit him up again here in a month and see where he's at with it. The other thing I got is cemetery clean-off. I haven't set a date yet, but it'll most probably be a couple weeks prior to Mother's Day weekend. And Chief, when were you thinking about sending out that flyer?
As soon as reasonably possible, that's all.
Well, if it works out, I would like to put my cemetery clean-off on there also.
Sure.
And I'll get you the date for the website. Because what we do is some years we just do a general clean-off, which is basically the grave blankets, any flowers, stuff like that. Well, this is the year for a total clean-off again. So everything that isn't a headstone or attached gets removed. So we got to put it out there so enough people see it. And for some reason, there's no value in shepherd's hooks, because I tell you what, we get a lot of them. And nobody ever comes looking for them. So I like getting it out there. That way everybody knows and we don't take something that somebody's put there and they wanted to keep.
What we can do is also provide a reference. Please reference the website for complete details of what's going to take place. You know, we may give the notification, but then the actual information is there, and it's
published. A long meeting.
And for that cemetery clean-off, seeing that a lot of our residents don't live in the township, Allen Township, and them do it in that bulletin board, they'll put it in there about their clean-off. At least that gets a little wider span for people to let them know that we're going to do it. And I'm going to try to put ours about the same time Allen's doing theirs. Maybe we can put both of those notices into that. And that way it gets a little more attention out there, because everybody looks for it, or we'll start getting phone calls asking when it's going to happen. So, and that's all I got, unless you guys have something else for me.
The only thing I got, gravel come pick up their backhoe?
No.
When's that?
It's however long we want to keep it, you know, so I was thinking the same thing.
I thought we had it approved till March, the first part of March, wasn't it, Kevin?
It's like the second week in March, I think.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're going to need it again this year, do you?
No, I'd like to keep it a week or so, yeah.
I just hate to pay another $1,000.
We still got to pull down, the salt down yet with it and that, so. Why don't you get that done with it, you know, Kevin, and straighten it up a little bit in there, and we'll see what the weather brings next week, and yeah, we can get rid of it pretty quick.
All I'm not saying anything about getting rid of it or keeping it. I'm not jinxing myself.
Yeah, I would like to get rid of it too, but it saves us a lot of money on the upkeep on the other one. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think when we got that delivered, I think it was like on the 14th or
13th or 14th of December.
I got it on the board out there, but yeah, that's something if we don't notify John, we'll be charged for it. So.
Yeah. Well, he'll prorate it. I'm not too worried about that.
Anything else?
No, but I would like to see that salt pulled down, get it, you know, if we can, and maybe that it'll fall out of the wood then. And
on the other problem is we still got 200 ton yet to put in there.
Yeah, but if we could pull some of that down so some of that falls maybe before. It's too bad they didn't make that concrete a little bit higher, you know. It's just,
that was as high as they'd go with it because of the dome.
Because of the dome?
Yeah.
But I guess the wood seems to be holding up pretty good, though, you know, with all the salt that's been on there.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
I think since we've had it, it's been completely emptied out, I think, three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin. Oh, trustees reports, I guess, quick. Cemetery, Joe's not here. Hall rental, much going on?
No, I got two rentals coming up. I do need to speak with the Broncos for the June 9th. I have a paying customer that really would like to haul that day. And you guys only had it for like 4 to 6 or 4 to 6:30. I think I had my book that Dave, you had put in originally when you were doing it. So if you could check on that, Linda.
Yeah.
When you get a chance, if that's not going to be an issue, we can. If they need to go to the fire station or if you guys go to Wolf Creek, whatever, let me know.
I'd say go ahead and rent it. And
okay.
Just figure out what we're.
Okay, so June 9th was the date. So okay. Saturday, June 9th. That's all I got on that.
Roads and Bridge. Kevin talked about that big project we got down there in Reno. And when we were up talking to Sarah, she said Bono Road, that the Fish and Game and Wildlife there, they have approved it. So they can go along with us on the Bono Road project. So Sarah's moving along on that. So, and Cedar Point Road, as I mentioned earlier, it really looked good. I drove down there this afternoon. It's nobody should be complaining at all. Oh, and Kevin, they said that they're going to clean, like, we have to watch them. They'll probably be coming out pretty soon to do a stub from E.S. Wagner's, you know, there. I told them to start at the stone and work back a ways to get that water moving. So we got to make sure that they don't do the stone, because Dave doesn't want that done, touched there. And I don't think it needs touched, but it needs cleaning up to the south. So they're going to be coming. I saw it on the, I think you might have been there, and they said it's on the books to get done. So
that's on the Decant roadside.
Yeah, the Decant roadside there. Decant.
Actually, some of that got cleaned up with Cocosing working in there. They put in another driveway.
I saw the driveway, yep.
And they cleaned up a section of it there to make it flow. So it shouldn't be much. It'll be back to about where Joey used to live right there. Would be about the extent of where they had it. So
yeah, so if they could go a little bit farther, it'd help pull some of that water. So they're supposed to do that. So kind of watch for that. You'll hear about it probably, so before I will. And yeah.
When they show up here with a dump truck.
Yeah.
And it's full of stone.
Yeah. So we have to watch for that. And that's about all I got on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the Bono Road, the access to the pier out there, any word on anything from the state? They going to put any guard railing system? I wrote a letter addressing that as a safety concern, and, you know, we'll continue to have cars going in the canal.
Yeah, we talked to Sarah Rowland about that, too, when Kevin and I were out there, and the cost, I mean, there's no way they'd ever do it. And there's not enough berm there, hardly enough, you know, to put it in. I don't think you'll ever see them do anything.
Okay. And then the only other thing is the trees. As soon as you make the curve by Shan's house there, the trees are overcoming onto the into the roadway, forcing traffic to get out of their lane. Is there anything they can do about trimming those trees back?
Okay, I'll call Patrick and we can complain to Patrick. So
we have to worry about you know, the...
With the equipment.
We're taking the fire truck out there, we're gonna, you know, damage the side of the fire truck if we're dealing with oncoming traffic.
Call Patrick. Okay, phone service update on that fire number, is there anything, I guess?
Nothing more than we're doing our public notice as we're obligated to do.
Okay. And I guess I got to the fire chief update on anything going on with the Metro Parks, anything else, or?
Nothing more other than we are going to begin taking our UTV out there and surveying the area ourselves with permission. I wanna physically drive those dike surfaces to see that, you know, we can get around.
Okay.
And I'm trying to do it while the ground is still got a little frost in it, so we're not tearing up any, you know, ground. But I wanna coordinate that with Metro Parks to make sure it's okay and they understand what we're gonna do.
Yeah, there's no grass there yet.
We've gotta get familiar with it.
Yeah.
I don't know that the numbering has been done yet that we've talked about.
Talked about.
That was our request.
I think you mentioned earlier, too, that EODC meeting, you know, March 22nd, and we might as well ride together, I suppose, unless you got something else you got to do.
Yeah, I'm currently maybe double booked right at the moment. I got to double check. I may be having to teach a CPR first aid class, so
okay.
I'm trying to see if I can maneuver that one.
We had down to comp time for Eric and Kevin, and I guess we took care of that. Fiscal officer, the copying cost, do you ever come up with anything?
Yeah, so really that was the only holdback to approving the public records request was the cost per page. So it's 2 cents for black and white, 0.089 cents for color. Our copier contract allocates per machine $500 each month color, $800 each month black and white. And they check it quarterly, and we're not even close when they check it quarterly to go over that. So there's no, I guess, concern that it, you know, we're in jeopardy of it costing more if we were to have public records requests or to address them. But that's what the cost is.
So you're paying a flat rate, you said?
The contract allows for 500 color each month, so 1,500 a quarter per machine, and 800 each month black and white. So 2,400 each quarter per machine.
And that's what we're paying it whether we're using them or not.
Right. So we're not touching it. So that's our cost.
I'm running them flyers up too. You're going to do 1,265 flyers.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Still probably within the.
And that's machine. What you needed was a cost per page for...
Yeah, the last page of this records policy, which came from the auditor of the state from the last meeting, that was the one holdup.
And you said anything over the 2,400 a quarter is how much a page, black and white?
0.02 black and white.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the... We're not charging it off for zoning, right? So...
I don't really copy much anymore.
I guess for the sake of this.
I mean, so it probably, if somebody came and asked for the zoning book, I would have to copy it for them. So
right.
Yeah. It should, wherever you make it, you should make it any.
Well, that's just covering the cost of the print, that ain't even the paper. So, did you have an idea, Joel, of what you felt was fair? I mean,
it's everybody, right? You go to the library, it's one price. You go here, it's one price. You go to the Office Max, it's another. It's what would be acceptable for the board.
What does it average out to?
It's all over the place.
What does the library do to you?
It's at least 15 cents.
15 cents a page?
Yeah, I was gonna say 10 or
15
cents.
Wow.
Yeah. No kidding.
I think it is.
Right. You go to a gas station or for, you know, stuff like that.
From 15 cents a page, I'm in the wrong business.
Nobody pays that, but,
right.
You know, that's what they advertise.
Have you had much public records requests?
I don't think they know that they can do that.
Oh.
And if they do, they don't need to because they feel content with the information they have. So it's required by revised code that we have it posted, display it. This is the auditor, attorney general's template. We change where it says jurisdiction, Jerusalem Township,
and of course the copier page. We did omit the CD price last meeting.
Okay.
And we were only just hanging up on the copy page.
What are you thinking, Dave?
I'm just gonna ask him what Office Max.
5 cents?
I thought
is what
that.
It was.
What is Office Max charge?
I didn't ask them.
Didn't
it's only concerned about us and what our cost is.
What do you want, 5, 10?
No, if somebody's, I was gonna say 5, but it's 5 enough. Five, we're not with the paper and everything. We're probably not.
I'd say make it 10 cents a page. I mean, I think that's in line with what you're gonna pay somewhere else. So
I think so too.
I mean, if you're, you know, 10 pages, it doesn't cost you that much. So, I mean, nope. Yes, ma'am. Sandy's got a question back.
Sandy.
I think that as a government office, you're only allowed to charge for the ink and the paper. If you go to Office Max, they can charge whatever they want. They're a free enterprise.
Right.
So, but as a government entity.
Maybe you better check on you. Don't.
No, we can charge whatever we want.
Can we?
Yeah, it's up to us. The Attorney General allows us to set our price. What's reasonable and fair would be obviously up for interpretation. You set a $4 per page cost, and that's going to send a signal to someone saying you're being unreasonable, right?
Right.
Okay.
For your records request. But I don't think it's unreasonable to ask somebody 10 cents for a page.
I don't think so either, because you got your time even in that. Yeah. I think a dime.
Do you need me to make a motion?
Well, I would like a motion to
for everything
accept the public records request.
Okay.
The 10 cents, because that's what the holdup was at the last meeting.
So you just need a motion to accept this with the 10 cents in it?
That's the last page. That was the only thing that was
okay.
Not from last meeting.
Okay, got you.
That makes sense. And of course, if you look, it says draft and adopted by resolution. That would just get changed and posted for the public to look at or not look at.
So do one and then pass one for me, so if somebody asks me.
So it's equal, yeah, but separate for this, and then because the fire department's in the same boat. An insurance company calls them asking for a copy of a run report. He can provide that, but I bet he doesn't have probably a cost, or he probably.
I know some of the attorneys. Some of the good attorney companies will come in and they'll already provide a $5 check towards, and our report consists of 3, maybe 4 pages of paper is all it consists of that they get a copy of. So, but there are other attorneys that provide nothing. They just ask for the request. But it's not unheard of for us to reply back, yes, we'll meet your request, but at a cost of $5 because, taking the time to find these documents, copy the documents. A lot of them will provide a mailing envelope. You know, I don't have to do that, but, you know, when you're talking an envelope with larger documents, it's going to cost a little bit more. So we're not making any money. The $5 is just a token. That's really all it is.
Do you need a resolution for the records request policy? That, and then you need, we might as well.
Which will include the 10 cents.
Which will include the 10 cents.
And that's done. Then Linda obviously brings up a point, get her up to speed. And if you want to just set in a policy for all township business, then you can just do that. But this has to be separate.
Okay.
All right.
I so move that we. Make a resolution to adopt the public records request policy draft, and also for the 10 cents sheet for the copying. Is that good enough?
That's fine with me.
Is that good enough in there for you, Joel?
All right. Let's see.
I will second that motion.
Okay, roll call. Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Dave Bench made a motion. Bo Miller seconded it.
You want to do copy and costs?
Man, we did a lot tonight.
You're not done yet.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Too bad. And then you want to do the 10 cent per page for the whole township? That has to be separate.
Okay.
Because if we don't have that already.
I suppose we better make a resolution, too, for that. So I so move we make a resolution for any public records or anything for the copier, any usage of it is 10 cents a copy. Is that good enough?
Fine with me.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Dave Bench made motion. Bo Miller seconded it. Done?
Thank you.
Okay, we got that done. I got a DIC meeting March 15th at 2 p.m. at the engineer's office, and it's actually quite important. We get to take the money that was, we're switching it ahead a year for the Anthony Wayne Trail, so it can be done earlier than it's supposed to. It was mandated for 19, but we're moving the money up so they can do it this summer, so they can get that done. So that's where I'll be March 15th. I think it's Thursday, yeah. The Model A vehicle discussion, there's probably no sense doing anything until Joe's here, so. Cell phone reimbursement for Kevin and Chuck Flack. I don't know. It's crazy, Kevin, paying that. Was it $2 and something?
$2.50 every paycheck.
Every paycheck.
Held.
Kevin, do you remember what that was for? Was that for personal calls way back when?
That was so we could use it for personal calls, and it wasn't public record at that point. We were contributing towards the cell phones.
Okay.
I can't.
So, Joel feels that it's a lot of messing around.
I can explain.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, since I brought it up. Sorry to make the meeting longer than it needs to be, but I noticed we were paying Tony Parcelletti's cell phone bill completely. We were withholding $2.50 every paycheck out of Kevin's for his cell phone. And then we have a third line for Chuck Flack, and we were withholding $20.92 because he has to get paid monthly because he's an OPERS employee with the fire department, which $20.92 doesn't cover his cell phone bill at half of it. We're not charging Tony anything for his cell phone, and we're charging $2.50 every pay period for Kevin's, which doesn't. To me, withholdings, I'm trying to just streamline those. Some withholdings make sense, like Social Security, and other withholdings where it's only on one and not the other. This was a carryover from a long time ago, it sounds like, when cell phones used to be per minute, and then they went to those plans, and now cell phone calls are free, and it doesn't matter who you call and when you call them and all that.
Tony, I don't know what to do with Chuck Flack. I don't know if we should be doing that yet or not. I don't understand it. Why?
His function was as the EMS lead coordinator was to field that. So. His conversations include talking with the state pharmacy board, coordinating back and forth, also in conjunction with the medical director.
We probably should leave that then.
Well,
I don't know how much he does.
I'm being honest, I'm torn too. I mean, I understand.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a little bit more for his than Kevin. Now, Kevin, would you? Do you still want to? You still want that? I mean, because basically what you're telling me is that's limiting your phone from public access, right? Or public records requests?
What it basically did is it let us redact numbers off of it. Like if somebody requested my phone bill, I would get it to redact all my private numbers off of it of anybody that I was worried that somebody would call. Which I don't care if they call anybody and call.
I mean, is this a concern? I mean, would you be fine with us doing away with that $250 a paycheck, or if you want it to stay on there?
It's $10 a month. I don't care either way. Whatever you want to do. It's a cheap way to keep a cell phone. And what it was, when we first got phones for the department heads, they wanted us to carry two phones.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, I was carrying two phones and a portable radio. I wasn't carrying two phones and a portable radio. It makes it easier just to have one phone. And like Joel said, it's no longer by the minute, and that's what it was before. The plan was for X amount of minutes, and so that was part of it. But it doesn't matter to me. Whatever you guys want to do.
I'm fine with if he went, if that will help, we can take that off. I think it's foolish for me. I think for $250, I don't think.
That's what I feel about too.
You know, I mean, with Chuck Flax, at least we are getting some money back for it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why there was a little bit higher rate taken out. So I say we leave his and take Kevin's $250 withholdings off every pay period for the cell phone.
I think so too.
I'll move to do that too.
I'll second it.
Roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried, thank you.
Bo Miller made the motion, Dave Bench second. Okay, we got that done.
Marius, we already did.
Marius, the tree and the tile, I guess.
Kevin got that.
How about the tree, though? The one that was in the ditch? Still got it.
Stuff that's in front of the pipe, we have not got to
that. You got to get that yet, okay.
Actually, I forgot about it. I'll take a look at it tomorrow, because we may have the backhoe down in Wallace Road tomorrow.
New business, Teach Out Seaman Road gate. That was brought up, Jim, and I don't know if I mentioned it even to Kevin or anybody else, Bo, or when I was talking, when I took some paperwork in to Mr. Miller, Brian, we mentioned how that gate was junk, basically, and they have these red things now. They open up when there's a lot of pressure, and they seal back up. They're really expensive. And Jim brought it up, and I said it has been talked about and probably something that should be pushed there at Seaman and Teach Out. So next time, or maybe I'll call him up here and rattle his chain a little bit on that one. So I was glad you thought about that, Jim, and mentioned it. So
even at the cost of that type of relief valve, just updating that gate, I mean, you know, I can't see an 84-year-old man walking over there and ratcheting that thing up with the 1940s equipment.
Yeah.
It's a little post outdated.
Yeah, yep. So that I'll try and push that a little bit. And the fire inspector rate of pay, I guess we better wait till Joe comes back on that one. And anyone else have anything to address the board about?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up about the problem I have out there with dumping into my ditch. I've been going through a lot of headache with the guy next to me, who happens to used to be my brother, over the past 3 years, he's been dumping garbage on my property, and I finally caught him at it, and he come at me with a pitchfork and beat the crap out of me. I was lucky to be alive. I just happened to be able to step on his foot and walk into him. And he went down in the embankment, and I got out of there and called the police. And so he's up on felony charges, a couple of them, and he's supposed to stay out of the property if I'm out there or whatever. He's got a court order against him. So watch yourself. He's been having trouble with the farmers. He's claiming property on both sides of him that isn't his, and just all kind of stuff. So if anybody or you're out there, be careful what the heck you're doing with him. I know we used to have a guy out here with a shotgun all the time. Remember when he used to sit out there with a shotgun? Yeah, well, you got another one on the end over there. So, but, and as far as what's going on, I mean, I rent my property out now to Navarre, and a couple years I couldn't make nothing off of it because he was flooding me out, dumping stuff in the small drainage on the one side. And now, you know, I don't need this next to me with the store going in there. From what they showed here and everything, there was, you know, really, I couldn't see a problem with it. But now with what they're doing, you can take a look at this and just bring it up. You know how to run one of them. Just tap one and it'll bring it up, and then you can slide the water.
Just then you can slide it over. Yeah.
So this is the ditch here.
Let's see.
That's your ditch there.
Yeah. Here, I'll show you, because I took some right down the ditch. Well, let's see.
There you go.
Okay. That's looking down the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where they were supposed to go into. But still, if you're going to be draining all that parking lot and everything, and they're putting a pond out front for holding water and everything, and we get a good flood, you know, it needs to be headed that way, not feeding into the...
I see, they're feeding it this way, yeah.
Yeah, because then you're just backing up to all that water. And like I said, I've got enough problems now where... and so does everybody else.
Well, Linda's going to be there tomorrow and hopefully talk to the... people.
I was there. I was there.
Yeah, she was there today.
Dealing with the county on that, I have my doubts about who they have there, because I've dealt with them on other things other than my property.
Okay, anything else? Dick?
I would like to thank the trustees for the use of the hall a couple weeks ago that I had to do a dinner there. Thank you.
You're welcome. More than welcome. So.
Demolition, don't
worry. Oh crap.
Sorry.
Guess everybody else is done. You wanna go over, you wanna go into the executive session then? Okay.
Yeah, we
do. I guess we'll leave our regular meeting and we'll go into executive session. I make a motion.
For
demolition.
Okay, roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried. It's also the law.
We got a spare seat for you.
I make a motion we go back into our regular meeting and close out the executive session.
Oh, we're going to play back what you said about us, huh?
Yeah.
All right, the nasty stuff. All right.
There's a motion.
Oh, I second.
Roll call, Joe Kiss. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Dave Bench made the motion. Bo Miller seconded it. Okay, I so moved to give the Roberta.
You have to go back into regular?
We did.
Okay.
We exited and went into regular.
Right. Oh yeah, and I gotta say there were no decisions made in there really. The decision is gonna be made out here right now. The Roberta demolition we gave to Ben Excavating, and the amount is $7,240.
No change.
No change.
And what's the address on the Roberta Drive? I'm sorry.
269 Roberta. These are the demolition bids from March 2018.
What's the address? 269.
Yeah,
269
Roberta.
Okay.
And we tabled the one on Dyke Road there, and we're going to go look at it, Bo and I and Joe probably, and see what we have to do there for sure to figure stuff out. So that one's tabled till next meeting.
What's the address on Dyke Road?
The Dyke Road one, we want to make sure it's...
I'm just marking it down for the notes.
We want to see what the base is up there. Do we want...
112.
We want to make sure if it's stone, we want stone in there. If it's dirt, we want dirt there. So we want to see what's up there, because I know when you pull up there, it's all stone. That's the only thing we're...
See what the house is sitting on?
We want to see, what the area is around it.
We don't want to dump dirt there.
If it's supposed to be stone.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only thing that we're waiting on that one for, is before we make a decision. You know, when you pull up there, it's all stone.
Up there all the time?
And I'm like...
That's real close to
it. It was a good question, and it was that, so... So I'll... You looking for a second?
You made the motion?
Dave did.
Okay. For what?
Been excavating in 72.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I did say that.
He's getting tired. I'll second that motion.
Roll call. Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Joe's pretty quiet tonight.
I hope he gets better. He didn't look good Friday night.
No, he did not look good. He looked like an old man.
I'm sorry we had to bring him here, but we had to. Okay, now do it, Bo. Now do it.
I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Dave Bench. We'll call Joe Kiss. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carry, meeting adjourned at 9:52.
Man, never been here this late.
And now you turn this off.